Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm Attorney Travis Gagne. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
Now, 99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. So this survey, it was a happy survey. They asked people to name the most magical moments in a person's life, and we've got the top 10. So I thought I'd go around the room and see, okay, you know, some of us are at different ages, so maybe we haven't had the magical moment hit us, or, you know, there's more magical moments to come.
Oh, man. Oh, the first one that pops into my eye. When I got married, BJ. The wedding day. No, I mean, that's, of course, right up there. But the one that just comes to me, are we talking about child's life or of all life?
A person's life.
Oh.
And you're close with wedding. You know, wedding did not. Wedding's number two.
Okay.
So that's number two. You were close to the number one thing.
But the thing that pops in my head right now is because obviously when I got to wrestle at Battlemania, that first moment when I got tagged into my match.
Wow.
And the way that the crowd reacted, I can't even put it into words, man. And I at the time, I didn't even really fully appreciate it. But when I went back and watched the tape and just got to, like, hear how many listeners were there and how they reacted to it, was such a cool moment. I'll never forget that.
Do you think it's because you're in the public eye or people are lying? Because there's nothing like that in the top 10, like a personal achievement moment like that. There's nothing like that in there.
I wonder if I don't think it's because of the public eye. I think that maybe people are just, their instinct is to say, my wedding day.
Yes, I
agree.
Or
the day I gave my birth to my child. I mean, we all understand that those are magical moments.
Yeah, and that's close to the first one, by the way. It's actually hearing your child's first word was number one.
Yeah, like when Lulu first barked.
Okay.
It was incredible.
That's not what.
When Demet Carl first meowed, it was amazing.
No,
yeah.
Those are not
on the
list. It took a while.
It did.
No, there's nothing about your damn dog or cat on the list. Nope. Oh, yeah, sorry, guys. That's not on there. But number one is hearing your child's first word as far as the top magical moments in a person's life. Number
so is
two
that, is that for you? Hearing Sarah and Joe talk? I mean, based on the last conversation we had with your daughter and their sex tape with Ryan Gosling, I would imagine she doesn't make the list.
Look, these are great moments. I put them as in the top magical moments of my life, getting married and having kids and whatever the words, fine. But those are in the top, I guess.
Do you remember your child's first words?
Yeah, well, what were they?
No, I don't remember them. It's probably no or yes, right?
But no, I don't want him as my father?
Yeah, I think it was no. I think Kathy would remember. I don't remember their first
words. You don't remember your kids' first words?
No, I don't. Not if I'm being honest.
No, I know you're being honest. You don't know your brother's middle name. I'm not surprised.
I feel like no. I remember hearing no a lot from Sarah, so I feel like that might have been her first
word. That's not a word. It's like, you know, saying black or white's a color. It's like, yeah, they kind of are, but...
Well, I mean, you know, they, she knew. I mean, she was definitely responding like, I don't want that. I don't want to do that. Joe, I don't remember his first words. I really don't. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh,
love you,
first
son.
Word was basketball.
Oh, basketball. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So, hearing your child's first word, getting married. Number three is having a baby. How about you, Vicky? What do you? What's your most magical moment? And I hope it's not involving some toy.
No, it wasn't a toy. It was just like actually losing the virginity part. That was awesome. Like, it was a really cool moment, and it was outside.
The closest thing they've got to that is your first kiss.
Oh, that was nice, too.
But you know what? I have to say, for me, the losing the virginity was terrifying, more so than, like, magical.
Well, for me, it was just awkward.
Yeah, maybe that would be. It was awkward and terrifying
for
me.
Like, I wasn't expecting it to happen. The music was kind of weird because I was listening to Pantera when it was all going down.
Oh, damn.
And the song Effing Hostile was playing, and it was just like I wasn't really that kind of a guy in the bed. So it wasn't like the music did not, the carpet did not match the drapes, if you know what I mean. Like, it was just like nothing was working right.
That was a real bad analogy, but I get what you're saying.
I know, it was a bad analogy.
And I mean, like, nobody's first time is ever great or anything, but it was the idea of, like, right after you're done, you're like, oh my God, I'm not a virgin anymore. I'm so bad. Badass. I did it.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, those moments never really...
Didn't have that for me.
I'm kind of like you. Like, I know that these things are like supposed to be like these monumental moments. Like, I think about when we moved to this new studios, and I saw a lot of people, when we were leaving the old place, were writing like these really heartfelt, I've been here for 5 years, and I'm leaving my workplace. It seemed like it was like such a moment. And then some people were like, how do you feel? You know, in a roundabout way, I was at that building for 20 years. That's where I started at the end. And I was just like, it's just a building. It doesn't mean anything to me. Like, I'm excited. Like, we're going to have a cleaner place, and it's not going to look so stupid.
I didn't have that either, but maybe because I've been bouncing around so much that I've been in so many studios, it's like, what?
But you've been in that studio for longer than some people. Like, some people were posting on their Facebook for after a couple of years how emotional this was.
Yeah, I guess
to
you're right.
Leave.
Didn't hit me.
No, but so I don't think those things ever really stand. They don't stick with me, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think.
Like when people say, this is the 15th anniversary of my first day at the job of where I work now. I have no idea when I got hired, except for when I get the damn email from our company saying happy anniversary. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, see, my anniversary is tough because they threw me out of the building really quick after I got the job. So it's like, it's not really my anniversary as far as I'm concerned. I had to negotiate to get back in this joint.
So he says, it's ironic that Sarah won't say no now.
Yeah.
The person says, that's funny, her word was no back then, and now it's yes, yes. Ooh, Sarah.
Thank you, Texters. You're all so wonderful. By the way, none of you are part of my magical moments. Number four, buying your first home.
That too. It was cool.
Yeah, it wasn't magical for me.
It was just like, oh, right, now I'm living in Linwood.
I mean, you know, maybe it was. I'm trying to remember if it was magical. It went from magic to tragic very quickly. That's what happened.
Uh-huh.
Because as soon as I bought my home, I ended up leaving the job.
Oh.
And it's happened a couple times in my career where I've said, okay, I'm going to settle down and buy a home. And both times I got fired very quickly after I bought the damn home.
I feel the same way when I got the house in Linwood. Also, I mean, it took forever to find a home. So I was just kind of done. And it was more like, fine, this house works, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I got fired at the old place. And then it was just like, great, I own a home now. Awesome.
That's
so I had such anger
feeling
towards that house. I would imagine when Vicky gets her house, it's going to be a pretty special moment.
I might cry just because of the way the market is right now and then just working up to it and all the freaking adulting you have to do to get to it. It's going to be so worth it at the end when I can get out of my parents' house and just walk into my house.
I like this one. This is pretty cool. The texter says, when the Seahawks finally won the big one. Of course, it was quickly followed by the most heartbreaking and soul gut-wrenching, crushing, destroying moment the next year.
Yeah, see, those are the kind of things that I would think you'd remember as magical moments, but I guess you're not supposed to say that.
So the Super Bowl was obviously a magical moment, but I ain't going to lie. The game against the 49ers that led them to go to the Super Bowl was way more magical because I was there and it was down to the wire to the very last play. The Super Bowl, don't get me wrong, I'm so happy it ended the way it did. It was a blowout because that way you could kind of enjoy the game and we were together. But once you realize the game was like the most magical moment of that game was Percy Harvin's kickoff return for a touchdown.
Yeah, you're right.
At that point, you realize this game's over.
You're right. I mean, it was we got the crown against the Broncos, but the real Super Bowl was against the Niners that year.
Yeah,
you're right. That was a much better game.
Like, that was still to this day the greatest sporting event I've ever been to.
And Rev, how about you? What's the most magical moment in your life?
I mean, I wouldn't say the wedding just because it was a steampunk ceremony and it was outstanding.
Was cool. That was a cool wedding. My wedding, unfortunately, had so much drama where my father didn't show up. Go. So it was, you know, yeah, so the wedding isn't good for
me. Yeah, it was in Vegas. There was no drama whatsoever. It was absolutely 100% fantastic. People dressed up in steampunk gear to go out to a ranch. Dee Snider showed up.
Yeah.
Like, there was a whole, it was just absolutely ridiculous and outstanding. Standing. So no matter what, I'd have to say that.
Yeah. So Vicky, buying your first home, you know, that's on the list. How about passing your driving test? A lot of people have that on there. I guess when you're 16 and a half, though, I don't know if it's that big of a deal now to younger people. Like if the Generation Zs are going to care because people are so much wanting to, at least around here, biking is the thing to do and cars are like carbon footprint. I don't know. I mean, is it still a big deal?
Well, if you're living in the city, I don't think it's a big deal. But when you live in like Lake Stevens, like I did, like you couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't walk.
Oh, you're not
going
to bike from Lake Stevens all the way to Seattle? Come on, you can do it.
No. So when I got my car, it was the greatest thing in the world.
All right, let's ask Danny.
Yeah.
What about you, Danny?
When you first heard Good Charlotte on the radio?
That was a very magical... They weren't on the radio, Steve.
Oh, my bad. It was on MTV's TRL.
You know, if I'm going to go traditional, it's when Lily first said, I love you. Not necessarily her first words, but when she started saying, I love you around like 1.5, 2, it was... Aww. That was fantastic.
Okay. So that's... Lily's your daughter, not the barista at Starbucks.
Exactly, yeah. Yes.
So for anyone that doesn't know.
That's kind of number 7 on the list, but it's interesting because I would have imagined number 7 was hearing someone say, I love you back to you, but I get that. That's in a relationship where so you say I love you to somebody and they say it back. But yeah, a little kid saying I love you, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, especially because she couldn't say anything. It was just like, I love you, Dada. And I was like, my heart melted. And that was like, that's awesome.
That is awesome.
The magical moment for me, I think, was when, as far as kids go, is when it was Christmas, I got a present. And the present I got, Joey was so excited. And it was a present that I was excited about. And it happened to be Magic the Gathering cards. And he was so excited. And I was like, all of a sudden, all the father-son moments I wish I'd had with my dad, but we had nothing in common. All of a sudden, like, it was the cats in the cradle. Everything came crashing in emotionally. I remember my wife was looking at me like, dude, what's going on?
I have someone to play cards with.
And I was like, I don't know, man. This is so awesome. This little kid. Joey, we got him everything he wanted for Christmas. He dropped all of it and came over and wanted to see these magic cards. And he was obsessed with them. And I'm like, this little dude likes what I like. This is awesome.
That is cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
How about this one? The biggest day, according to a texter, was the day that I got a kidney transplant. That will always be the biggest day of my life, as each day is a day I wasn't supposed to have. Cheers. Oh. That's way cooler than any of ours.
Yeah, you're right. I guess that's a thing. Number 9 on the list. Well, I shouldn't skip number 8, and it's kind of what Vicky said. And I think, in a way, this is like losing your virginity. Your first kiss.
They're completely different.
I mean, I wonder if people say that, but what they mean is losing their virginity. I don't know. Or is it really different? Is the first kiss...
It's 100% different.
All right.
Yeah.
I think the losing your virginity is a much bigger deal, but maybe not.
Well, I mean, I had my first kiss in kindergarten. I wasn't happy about it. I was forced upon
That's what I mean.
By Jennifer Fasanello.
She chased
me around the classroom and finally planted one on my lips.
You got to show me a picture of Jennifer Fasanello these days. What if she turns out to be a bombshell and you're like, oh, I blew it?
Oh, I'm fine with where I'm at, man.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle.
Now it's time for Facebook Drama.
And Facebook Drama is brought to you by Beacon Plumbing, Heating, and Mechanical. And BJ, once again, this is our opportunity to point out the idiots that are on Facebook. It's an actual Facebook post. The drama unfolds because of it. And, of course, we're going to act it out. So, BJ, this time around, you'll be playing the role of the original poster. You will be Jen.
Alrighty.
Vicky, you'll be Cindy.
Yay.
Rev, you'll play the role of Steve.
Sweet.
And I'll be Ben. That'd be funny if I was playing the role of Rev.
Yeah, that would be funny.
So, BJ, once again, you're going to be doing Jen. So, Jen's the original poster.
Lovely.
So, BJ, please, take it away.
Ooh, the girl in the bathroom stall next to me clearly needs a stool softener. Poor girl is huffing and puffing and saying, ow, ow, ow. And then I heard a big thump and a sigh of relief. You go, girl.
Sounds like she really did go, finally. Ha ha.
Gross. I thought girls didn't poop, LOL.
That's sexist.
What? You graphically describe some strange girl dropping a bomb of poopy proportions, and I'm the bad guy for the girls don't poop joke?
I'm with Ben here. How is this even an issue? Relax, Jen.
Even I'm confused, and I like the poop post. Hashtag poop emoji.
You cannot make broad generalizations based on sex. That's wrong.
Wow. I have no words.
I'm not going to take the moral lecture from someone who just made fun of a girl in the next stall. I'm out.
But I said, you go, girl, at the end. I'm empowering her.
Oh, all right, then. How about this? You go, girls, with your not pooping. Hashtag woke. Hashtag empowered constipation.
Wow, Jen sounds like a delight.
I like that hashtag at the end.
Yeah. Yes.
Empowered constipation.
Yeah, it is interesting that, you know, because of anonymity, you're basically, really, I mean, you're in the bathroom, somebody's there in their private time, and you're kind of, you're really making fun of them, and then you go and lecture somebody for being what they call sexist. That's just lame.
I mean, look, I get that this is a whole different, we need to be sensitive to certain things, and I'm not opposed to that, but this is a little much of a stretch.
I mean, agree.
Come on. Yeah. I mean, this is not sexist. It's a joke. Girls don't poop. That's been a joke that's been going on. I don't think anybody's offended by that. At least I didn't think so, but possibly Jen is.
It's not a joke. Girls really don't poop.
Oh, really?
That's right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we've never seen Vicky, actually. We never know. Yeah.
Why do you have toilet paper in the bathrooms?
That's for makeup.
Oh, yeah.
We do go number one, though, too.
Yeah. Oh, you got to pat it dry.
Yeah, that's what
fair enough. Is.
Well, of course, yeah. You got to, you know, just... and people just want, yeah, people just want to be mad. I mean, there, yes. That's all there is to it. People just want to be mad at other people. As opposed to, you know what? I don't think that's nice that you're just basically doing play by play of somebody in the toilet.
I mean,
if you're going to say you should or shouldn't do something, I enjoyed it. But if you're going to be the one to complain, it's like, lady, what you're doing is a lot worse. If we're going to complain about what people are doing, though, I don't have a problem with either one.
Yeah, I was just saying, it's not like she posted a picture of the person.
I agree.
Or
I don't
audio.
Know,
yeah.
Right.
But that's why I'm
awesome.
That's why I'm surprised. Like, lady, you're the one doing the faux pas, and all of a sudden you're calling somebody out. No, or the poo-pah.
Or is it a faux poo? How would you call that? I'm
not. I think faux poo is pretty good.
I think faux poopa.
Faux poopa.
Put it all together.
Hey, that will be Rev's name, by the way, if he's a grandfather someday. He'll be poopa.
It's not really
peepa,
there.
It's poopa.
A grandpoo.
Yeah, he's the grand poopa.
But you're going to train your cats to say poopa?
Yeah, I could train him to do anything.
I got a new survey.
Okay, get off your lawn, Vicky.
That was creepy the way you made that sound, Dr. Evil. I can train them and do anything. They'll take over the world. Got a new survey, came out, talked about people's mentality towards their gift giving this year. And here's what it found. And I want to say something. We stopped doing that on this show, and I thought it was the greatest thing ever. Because it got to be just so much of a stressor for me to have.
Gosh, it was too expensive.
Yeah, well.
I'm broke on all you bastards.
Yeah, I don't blame you, Steve. It was, and then it's like, what did we get for you guys? I got to know. And now in the world of my board game friends, my board game community, we all get each other gifts, and it's now becoming a pain in the neck.
Why?
To have to do everything.
Because I got people are in your party?
It's more and more people are showing up.
So wait, everyone's going to get a gift for everyone? Or
that's
is it
what's
just
happening.
One, of those one gift, or do you all just pick one name and you only have to get a gift for one person?
There's no birthdays, holidays. And it's like, oh, now I'm feeling the stress.
I think you guys got to have a conversation. Maybe like have a board meeting about your board game group.
I think that's a good idea.
And propose that no more gifts need to be done.
I would love to do that. But but you know what? Uncle Chris loves getting gifts. And so he loves giving gifts. So he's the biggest problem. You know, there are people that just love doing that. I'm not a person that likes giving gifts or getting gifts. I just leave me alone.
See, I do too, but I have some of my closest friends, my best friend and I have this rule for our birthdays and Christmas, we do not buy each other anything.
Yeah.
Although if we see something, hey, you know what, I thought you'd like this, we can buy it for each other. Like I bought her a pair of socks that says, if you can read this, bring me gin. Mm. And I thought those were pretty cool.
See, that's a cute thing. Awesome.
But it's just like, it wasn't for birthday or anything. It's like, I saw this, thought of you, and I wanted to give this to you.
I'm a fan of that. Because there are times you see something in a story, and like, oh man, I know who would like that. And then you get it for them, you just give it to them. And I think that's cool. But I never had like the expectation to get me a gift. I don't really care about getting gifts, and I sure as hell don't. I don't mind giving somebody something when it's like the right time, but I don't. I hate feeling forced to buy somebody something.
Well,
because I don't know what to get them, and I always err on the side of expensive. Because I don't know what else to get them. So next thing you know, I'm buying like some stupid expensive whatever piece of memorabilia, and I'm like, I just wasted $70 on this, and I don't even like this person.
Or if you want to do a gift card, you can't just buy a $20 gift. You're like, you can't, you know, give them a $20 gift card.
That's how I love to do it. I'm gift card guy. I'm like, hey, look, get whatever you want, leave me alone. But there are people now turning this into a competition. One in four of us will actually be competitive when buying gifts. They want to make sure they give better stuff than their friends and family. So you win if you take a look at what you get and go, oh yeah, this is crap. I gave you something amazing. That's some people's mindsets now.
See, I'm not competitive this year, but I have a friend who went all out for my birthday and got me a really cool gift. So now I feel like I have to get her something equally as cool.
Oh, you gift it.
Well, no, I can't. It's tickets to a comedy show.
Take her.
Well, she's got tickets for the both of us, so it's like I need to think of something equally as awesome.
Oh no,
for her, because I want to make her feel special.
That's tough. That's a tough one. Wow.
It's the comedy show before or after her birthday.
Yeah, it's before.
To buy our t-shirt at the comedy show.
Well, it's before, like, you know, 6 to 8 months or something. So I don't know if that'll count.
Get her a coupon book that says you can have sex with a comedian. That's the thing you give her.
Oh, man, I would have sex with her.
All right.
Who are you guys going to see?
Eliza. She did the Elder Millennial special on Netflix. It's really funny.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. I've heard about Eliza. Yeah, she's really starting to blow up.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. She was supposed to come this today, actually, but she had to reschedule. She's going to be in a movie.
Oh.
So I'm like, okay, she's moving on up. Too
did
cool for
poop,
us.
You know?
She does talk about
does she poop was the question.
Yes. Okay. Based on the conversation we just had.
All right. I think that's sexist. I'm done talking.
Sorry,
about
my bad.
Yeah.
I think she did mention it in her comedy show. I need to take a dump.
So, Vicky, almost half the people are like you. They're buying backup gifts because they just, this is different. They buy backup gifts in case someone doesn't like what they give them, and then they have to give a present to someone they weren't thinking of. So if you don't like what I give you, I have to have a backup gift ready for you?
This is the problem, man. This is why we should just stop giving people gifts.
I agree. Why do I agree with you, by the way, on this? I can't believe it.
Because it's so much stress, and nobody's really doing it for the right reason. It's a competition. It's a show that, you know, you have this, you do that. Nobody's getting something because they just thought, you know what, this is a cool thing. I'd like to give it to you because I know you're a fan of it. You know, like, if I saw a good Charlotte pillow, I probably would buy it.
I would get it for Danny, sure.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'd add it to my collection.
I know you would. Yeah. We know you would. Seriously, you can't have enough good Charlotte pillows in your
collection. But I usually don't spend that much time in Hot Topic, so I haven't seen it.
Yeah. That's the problem, Steve. Yeah, you got to get in there a little bit.
When I go in there, I try and get in and get out before I get accosted by every single employee that works there.
I know. It is funny.
It's like, yes, for the seventh time, I know if I buy one shirt, I get another one for half off. I'm trying to have this get out of here before my wife catches me.
I feel bad.
Stop talking to me.
I feel bad for the employees because I worked retail, and you know they don't want to say that either.
I almost feel like when you go to those kind of stores, and I think about Hot Topic, they do that. Yankee Candle, that's another place, too, where it's just like, is it part of the job description that you're just supposed to follow the person around and just keep asking them if they need this, they need that?
Yeah.
I feel like you should be able to walk in with, a little light. And as soon as someone who... that works at the store hits you up and asks you a question, you get to flick that light on, and that means we've established that I've been talked to by one of your employees.
I love that plan.
I don't need to be bothered by every other person that works here trying to sell me the exact same thing that the first person tried to sell me.
Yeah, give you some sort of like a little light or a lanyard where they go, okay, he's been talked to. We've seen this. He's done. He's good.
No, the best part about Hot Topic was that we were told, when I worked there anyway, it was we didn't have to sell anything. We were just like there to talk to people about things. It might have changed.
Oh, that's got to be changing because that's not how it is now.
But when I worked at Zoomies, they were like,
they're aggressive.
Oh my gosh. They were like, you need to sell 40-year-old men bathing suits during summer. And it was like, why? Because they're on sale. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, the folks that make these decisions never are the people in the front lines. The frontline people never want to do these things.
It's funny because the first person comes like, no, I'm good. I'm just looking. You need anything? No, I'm good. And third person, you need anything? By like the sixth person, I'm like, I'm fine. Leave me alone.
Oh, yeah.
It's like I turned into Satan.
I don't blame you.
There's a picture on Reddit where it's a store and they have two different colored baskets. The orange is please assist me and the green one is no assistance required. Oh. They need to do that at all stores.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Steve, your idea was stolen, man.
I love it. I'm glad someone did it. I wasn't going to get around to it.
And I actually like the please assist me basket because there's some times where you go, God, I'm trying to find somebody and there's no, it's like, why can't the stores get a balance? You either have the store where you can't find anybody or the store where they're all over you.
And the one that's the... Nordstrom's, you know, sometimes from Christmas time, I'm going to get stuff for my wife at Nordstrom's. I know it's like the type of jeans she likes are there and this, that, and the other thing. So I go there and I have no idea where to find these things. So I'll take a picture of something while we're shopping, like months leading up to it. So I was just like, I can't find it. Nothing's in the same place it was yesterday.
Yeah.
So then I'm trying to find someone to help me. But I don't know who works there because they don't have a uniform. They don't have name tags. So I'm asking some real attractive chick. I'm like, hey. And she's like, I don't work here. I'm like, oh, I just assumed every hot chick
that's what I assume works here.
Yeah. Typically the case.
That's the first place I would go is to the hottest chick going, okay, she's got to be working for Nordstrom. Because everybody at Nordstrom is hot.
Right.
But the problem is there are also hot chicks that shop at Nordstrom, so you're just basically accosting everybody at this point.
And then you get to that point where you like start staring, then you look like a creeper because you're staring at women trying to make eye contact, like, I need help.
Yeah.
But I don't know who, so you know.
And that's how Steve got arrested.
Yeah, well, the first time.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. Here's another question from a listener. I'm getting my wages garnished. Can bankruptcy help with that?
Absolutely. One of the big reasons people file bankruptcy is because they have a judgment or a lawsuit against them, or their wages are getting garnished, and so they can't pay their other regular ongoing bills. People sometimes think that you can't file bankruptcy once they have a judgment against them or once a garnishment has started, and that's not true. Filing bankruptcy will immediately stop any garnishment that you have going, except for child support, and stop your creditors from continuing on with garnishments of your bank accounts, your wages, and in most cases will discharge that liability through the bankruptcy process. And we can file a bankruptcy case for you usually the day you come in.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.